Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 1600 ESPN.
On 1600 ESPN.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Welcome in on a Friday the 13th. Oh boy. Anybody superstitious out there? Second month in a row we've had a Friday the 13th. Is that bad vibes, bad karma? I don't know. I'm not an expert on that stuff. What I am an expert on is sports. Loosely. Spencer on Sports, Power Hour with you here on 1600 ESPN. Hanging out till 5 tonight because, as you just heard, we're turning you over to the Cyclone Radio Network. John Walters and Eric Heft taking over the airwaves for the pregame show. Big one tonight in the Big 12. Two really good games, in fact. The Big 12, they got real lucky with their semifinal action tonight. Iowa State, Arizona first up, followed by Houston and Kansas. We'll have the first game along the Cyclone Network starting at 5, so a short show today. We'll get you all set for the weekend, and what I think all of us are watching out there is college hoops. In fact, Big Ten Network right now, the first couple, the daytime sessions, I heard Jeff Levering, who's on the play-by-play, talking about this earlier today. The daytime sessions, the last 3 days, have been fantastic for basketball games. The biggest margin of victory in the daytime sessions was Iowa beating Maryland, 75-64. But you've had great game after great game after great game, working on the fourth great game in a row right now. I almost said Iowa. Wisconsin and Illinois. Wisconsin and Illinois are playing. Iowa's not playing today. They're done. They're waiting for Selection Sunday. Wisconsin and Illinois just about to wrap up overtime. And the winner getting to take on number one seed Michigan, who survived today against Ohio State. Man, it is March. Absolutely, it is March. And we're going to get you all set for not just the rest of the Big Ten and Big 12 tournaments, but everything happening around college hoops for the next hour. So we will hear a little bit from both TJ Otzelberger and Tommy Lloyd coming up after 4:30. Get you an early look at the matchup tonight. Also, a big story out of the Big 12 tournament. They have done away with the glass floor in Kansas City at the T-Mobile Center. Kind of an interesting story. We've been following this. They announced this huge partnership with Windex to support the glass floor. It looked cool from above. You know, you could swipe on the tablet and have the different schools' colors and the score projected onto the thing. But in the end, player safety, probably the best course of action. No, it is the best course of action. No, probably involved. And we'll talk about just why this change was made. Was it a good idea? Was it a bad idea? It's not necessarily something we need to do a deep dive into, but it is something people have been talking about and people are still talking about. And there are some people that are complaining that they got three quarters of the way through the tournament and are now like, maybe we should go back to the wooden floor. Why was this not decided in the women's tournament last week? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Brett Yormark does. He was on the Pat McAfee show earlier today. I'll play you a clip of what he had to say about why the floor has been changed down in Kansas City. But there will be basketball, regardless of what the floor looks like, regardless of whether it's made of glass, LED glass, or whether it's made of wood. They're going to play tonight, and we'll get you set for that coming up after 4:30. Quick look around the rest of the sports world, some of the highlights for tonight and the weekend as well. 319-366-1600 if you want to join in on the conversation today. Talk line, text line open here as usual on this Friday afternoon. Wisconsin just finishing off the Fighting Illini of Illinois in overtime. 91-88 was the final there. So great basketball game. Nick Boyd with a big performance. John Blackwell as well. Each 30-plus points in that one to lead Wisconsin. And that's their second game here now in a row where they've had down-to-the-wire 80-plus point performance. And it makes you wonder how fresh their legs are going up against Michigan tomorrow, who just played their first game of the tournament today. Certainly a question worth asking, and we'll get the answer to tomorrow afternoon in the Big Ten semifinals. But it's a fun time of the year, that is for sure, as we get marching along here on the Power Hour on 1600 ESPN. Isaac's back. He's here on a Friday. What's up?
Yeah, happy to be back. One after a couple days off, one that's normally scheduled, one that wasn't as normally scheduled.
Things
but
happen.
Life
gets in the way. Yeah.
But I am happy to be back and excited for all the basketball this weekend as we ramp up for what should be a pretty interesting selection Sunday, seeing who's in, who's out, but also just seeing where everyone falls within the seating and seeing Iowa women's basketball schedule as far as what they're looking like for hosting games.
Yeah, that is certainly something people are paying attention to as well this week. The women's tournament's happening last week. It's not that we forgot about it, but it's like you have all the men's action happening this week, and like, oh yeah, the women's bracket comes out too. That thought occurred to me this morning. Like, yeah, it's both men and women. It's not a Selection Monday type of thing. So you're going to find out where both Iowa and Iowa State women will play. Drake and you and I both have to win the Missouri Valley tournament to get in. So probably just the two teams here from Iowa and the women's tournament, but should be a busy Selection Sunday. You got three teams on the men's side, two on the women's side. So five total here to look forward to with the women's tournament and the men's tournament combined. 319-366-1600. Let's get started.
What's happening?
Big news. This just in.
This is really important.
Wow, that is really, really big.
Kind of want to start with just an overview of where things stand for both the men's and women's teams here in the state of Iowa. We'll get you a quick check of the scoreboard as well as we get you all set for the action here this weekend. Again, 319-366-1600 if you want to chime in on the talk line and the text line here this afternoon on a Spencer on Sports Power Hour here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. Let's start on the men's side, get you a quick catch-up on what's happened today, especially in the Big Ten basketball tournament. Of course, Iowa knocked out yesterday by Ohio State. We had plenty of thoughts on that on yesterday's show. If you missed it, you, of course, can check out the podcast at kgymradio.com. We'll hear a little bit more from Ben McCollum just to round out the Big Ten tournament portion here in just a moment. But earlier today, and give credit, man, to Ohio State. I know if you're an Iowa fan, you don't necessarily want to give credit to Ohio State. They just beat your favorite team, right? But give credit to them because they were teetering on the brink of being out of the NCAA tournament field when they came to Iowa City. They lost that game. It was looking pretty bleak for them. But they found a way to win their final three regular season games. They beat Iowa in the Big Ten tournament yesterday and gave Michigan a heck of a fight. Bruce Thornton, another 20-plus point performance. But Michigan, just too much in the end. The Wolverines, the number one seed in the Big Ten conference tournament, getting the win. 71-67 was the final score, so Ohio State gets knocked out. And then, like I mentioned just a few moments ago, Wisconsin getting huge performances from Nick Boyd and John Blackwell. 38.6 assists from Nick Boyd to lead the way as Wisconsin unseats Illinois or knocks off Illinois. Wisconsin, it's a minor upset by seed. They were the 5 seed, Illinois the 4. So in a conference tournament where we got, it's kind of interesting. I saw someone bring this up on X last night. As I was watching the ACC games last night and the Big 12 games, we had all 18 teams make the Big Ten tournament field for the first time ever. Remember last year we only had top 15. They expanded it out to 18. We let 18 teams into the Big Ten tournament, and who advances to the quarterfinals? The top 8 teams. Seeds 1 through 8, which shows you just kind of – it's a microcosm of where the Big Ten has been this season, right? You have this set of teams, there's a few teams in the middle, and then everybody else below them is either kind of on the bubble or well off and missing the NCAA tournament field. So Wisconsin beating Illinois, not necessarily a shocker. You could have flip-flopped those two seed-wise. I think Wisconsin was definitely playing better than Illinois down the stretch. And the Badgers, do get that win. They win in overtime 91-88. So that sets up Michigan and Wisconsin in one of the semifinals. Later on tonight, you've got Nebraska and Purdue. Those two teams certainly have had some interesting battles here this season. And then you have Michigan State and UCLA. UCLA surviving Rutgers last night, 72-59. Purdue, little trouble with Northwestern. They won 81-68 yesterday. So it's going to be an interesting semifinal matchup, certainly between Michigan and Wisconsin, because the Wolverines, their only loss in conference play came to the Wisconsin Badgers. And then Nebraska, who And they're the two seed. It's something we're not used to seeing them with in the Big Ten basketball tournament. Michigan State, a usual March suspect, a usual March team we're used to talking about this time of year, taking on UCLA, right? The best of the West, if you will, in the Big Ten right now, because everybody else was pretty low seeded this year in the Big Ten standings when it comes to Washington and USC and Oregon. So they're carrying the flag for the West Coast representation. Certainly a lot of talent on that team. Are they talented enough to take down the Spartans tonight? We'll find out. But, there's no bid stealers here, right, in the Big Ten. Everybody, and that's kind of maybe another lesson we learned. The only team that really had, a path to stealing a bid as the week began was Indiana, and they laid an egg against Northwestern. They're still on the wrong side of the bubble and probably will stay there, barring some sort of crazy upheaval in the next couple of days. So really, it's the representation you have in the Big Ten tournament is the representation you expect when you looked at bracketology, and we've been looking at bracketology here for the last month or so. Leading into this championship week, of course, leading into Selection Sunday on Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. We'll have the show for you, I should say, live at 5 here on 1600 ESPN. If you're not able to be near a TV and watch the show, you can fill out your brackets in your head as you're driving along in your car on Sunday evening. We got that for you here on 1600 ESPN. 319-366-1600. Like I said, we talked plenty about Iowa and Ohio State yesterday. Just looking at bracketology for all the teams here, at least from the state of Iowa. I need to make sure I'm looking at the men's bracketology, not the women's yet, because we're not at that point yet. But Iowa still listed as a 9 seed in the latest update from Joe Lunardi. 9 seed playing number 8 seed Utah State with a possible matchup with Michigan, the number 1 seed in Buffalo in the Midwest region. Iowa State, they are projected now as a 2 seed. Their run through the Big 12 tournament has bumped them back up to the 2 seed line. Joe Lunardi has them in St. Louis taking on Tennessee State, a 2 versus 15 matchup there. And for you UNI fans, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday when Kevin Lehman joined me for our Off the Glass segment here on 1600 ESPN. Northern Iowa, a pesky 13 seed, a pesky 12 seed, no matter where they end up. A possible matchup with Purdue still in Joe Lunardi's mind as a 13 seed, a 13 versus a 4 there with potentially Arkansas or Yale waiting on the other side in Philly. So, we'll see where it all shakes out going into Sunday. But if you're a fan of those teams, right, you feel pretty darn good about where things stand here, even if your team didn't have the ideal week in their conference tournament. And by that, I mean the Hawkeyes losing to Ohio State. The most important thing, Isaac, for Iowa, and I don't want to just keep repeating things we've said already here on the show, they didn't take another bad loss. I think that puts you in somewhat comfortable territory for this this Sunday, this Selection Sunday, right? You didn't take a bad loss to Maryland. You didn't necessarily look your best against Ohio State. You fought back, had a chance to tie, couldn't pull out the victory. They've had so many close losses this year that are probably a little bit more memorable than some of their wins, right, in the Big Ten. But I still don't see, just considering everything you look at, I don't see them even sliding all that far back, even if they fall to maybe a 10 seed, just based on everything we've seen and everything we've seen around them with the bubble.
Yeah.
As we've talked about, the bubble is just awful.
I think that's the biggest thing. Yeah, Iowa didn't necessarily have to have a great Big Ten tournament. They just had to look decent against good teams and win against, assuming they went up against a bad team, which they ended up going against a not great team, win that game. And because the bubble's so bad, I was going to be in. Maybe if it was a stronger year, there'd be more of a debate. But I don't think anyone at this point is really debating that Iowa's not going to make it, just because it feels like it's pretty solid. And I mean, a bunch of the advanced analytics, like numbers that the selection committee looks at. They're all great in. They're still pretty solid in the net. Maybe not as many quad one or like really high quality quad one losses or wins rather. But I still think it'd be, given how bad the bubble is, it'd be very surprising if Iowa was not in.
The last four byes, just looking at Joe Lunardi, and then I'll look at Bracken Matrix, because I think Bracken Matrix kind of shows you, you know, bracketology is not an exact science. There's still twists and turns, but if you've been doing it long enough, you kind of know where the selection committee looks and stuff like that. And that will tell us maybe a little bit clearer picture of where exactly the Hawkeyes stand. But the last four byes, last four teams to skip the first four, as of about 1 o'clock this afternoon, according to Joe Lunardi, NC State, Santa Clara, UCF, and Miami of Ohio. Of course, Miami, you know, you talk about sweating out Selection Sunday. I think they're fine. They have to be fine. If the committee sets a precedent of omitting a team that won their first 31 games, then we've lost the plot even more with everything that we're doing. But Miami of Ohio, according to Joe Lunardi, the last team with a bye. Your last four in: Missouri, VCU, SMU, and Texas. And all those teams have taken losses, save for VCU. They haven't played yet in the A-10 tournament. But Missouri, SMU, and Texas have all taken losses this week in their conference tournaments. Even some bad losses in the SEC tournament. Texas lost to Ole Miss. And Ole Miss was not a good team this year. So them being one of the last teams in kind of shows you where everybody else is right now. Oklahoma can still play their way, and they play tonight. Auburn is done in the SEC field. New Mexico and San Diego State, they're still alive in the Mountain West. But Indiana is now next four out. And, I mean, they had their opportunities, right? There was no chance they're getting in after getting blown up by Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament. But when three of the teams currently listed as last four in all have losses in their conference tournaments, and there's no movement, they're kind of hanging out there, I think that tells you all you need to know when it comes to just the quality of the bubble here in 2026. And that's pretty telling. I mentioned Bracket Matrix. If you're not familiar, go to bracketmatrix.com. They basically take every bracket that everybody's created out there, and they average the seeds. So they take, say, Iowa's a 9 in these brackets, an 8 in these brackets, maybe a 10 in these. They average where they're at and kind of put them on a grid. And for the Hawkeyes, they are the third number 9 seed. The third number 9 seed. Now, they've fallen below Ohio State, which makes sense. Buckeyes beat them head-to-head, right, in the Big Ten tournament. Carrying a little bit more momentum right now. So them being there makes sense. St. Louis right now is the last 9 seed, but if St. Louis ends up winning their conference tournament, they might go up. So if you're an Iowa fan cheering for a 10, you might get your wish. If teams below them keep winning, St. Louis, you know, they get bumped down the pecking order. We'll see how it all plays out. But they are so far away from being in that 11 seed range right now that they're pretty much safe. I would be stunned if it got to the point where they're one of the last few teams in the field. Maybe they are. Maybe they end up being one of the last few teams with a bye. Sometimes the committee has different, they don't have different metrics, but they value certain things a little bit more. And maybe that puts them closer to the mid-10 range, the middle 10-seed range than anybody else. But considering they're on the upper half of the lower seeds, right, I think that's a pretty good spot to be in. So Iowa projected as a 9. Officially, their score a 9.06 in terms of Bracket Matrix. So they are not the highest 9 seed, if that makes sense. St. Louis is a 9.15 when you average out all their seeds on all the brackets across bracketology land, if that's such a thing. But Ohio State's bracket score is 8.91, so more brackets have them as an 8 than a 9, considering their bracket, the run that they've made here toward the end of the season. Iowa State, there was a question on the text line, 8582, can Iowa State or does Iowa State edge out Illinois for a two seed? I think they do. In fact, they have in most. Bracket Matrix still has them as a three, but the highest three seed. If they were to beat Arizona tonight, tall task, certainly. I think they could definitely end up as a two. Illinois losing now in the Big Ten quarterfinals, I think, certainly helps Iowa State. But it just comes down to, right, what happens with how do they move up, right? Like, I think they're probably deserving of the last two seed right now. If they find a way to beat Arizona tonight, if they win the Big 12 championship, absolutely, I think they are a two. You lose tonight, I think you're kind of on the borderline, but I think you're probably deserving of the lowest number two seed, the last number two seed, if you're Iowa State. So Illinois losing certainly probably does impact that. But right now, Bracket Matrix has their average seed is a 2.75. compared to a 2.22 for Illinois. So Illinois is just a little bit ahead of them on that two line. Iowa State right now, a 2.75. Northern Iowa, let's see here. The Panthers projected as the top 13 seed right now. So they're one spot away from a 12, which certainly makes sense considering their body of work. But Northern Iowa right now, a 12.58. At Bracket Matrix, High Point is the lowest number 12 seed out of the Big South. And High Point doesn't have any games left, neither does Northern Iowa, so maybe there's a little bit of jockeying for position there. But you and I, likely a low-end 12, high-end 13 seed with the bracket coming out here this weekend. So something to watch there as well. 319-366-1600, Iowa waiting out Selection Sunday. Here, of course, losing to Ohio State yesterday afternoon in the Big Ten men's basketball tournament, coming into Selection Sunday with a 21-12 record.
We've got a good team. I think sometimes we get ourselves to, accept, I don't know if it's second place, but accept good, and I think that's a scary deal. I think we need to try to find great, and we're going to get there. We're going to keep fighting, and hopefully do well in the NCAA tournament.
Ben McCollum saying yesterday after that loss that the team still has not fully reached their potential, but with only one guaranteed game left, not many opportunities to fully reach their potential.
And so trying to get them to understand that you're not just a win a conference tournament game team. You're not just a make the NCAA tournament team. You need to be able to win those games. And I think often, and this is why people sit in mediocrity for a long time, is because they start to fall in love with really good.
We'll see who they end up drawing. If you're an Iowa fan, do you want 8, 9, or 10 for your team's seed? 319-366-1600. I've seen a lot of fans, and I know social media is not representative of everyone's opinion. A lot of posts I've seen on social media, please give us a 10. Better chance to get a win, maybe knock off a two seed if you draw the right one. I don't want to speak for you. You tell me, 8, 9, or 10, or does it matter? 319-366-1600, that's Iowa fans addressing. Iowa State fans, 2 or 3, does it matter to you? I think you'd like to be a 2, like having the 2 in front of your name, but I think a 3 is still a pretty good spot to be in. I think 2 might... two seed, I don't want to say the name Hampton, but I just said the name Hampton. That might draw back some bad memories. So, I don't know, some flashbacks. Was that 2000, 2001? Fill me in. You probably don't want to fill me in. 319-366-1600. 8, 9, or 10, Hawkeye fans, does it matter where you end up? I feel like if you're 8, 9, right? Like, oh, well, it's the same. It's essentially the same teams playing each other. The very identical teams playing each other. And then you get to get clobbered by Michigan or Duke or Florida. So congratulations, you made the tournament, and hey, you're out pretty quick. Unless you're like Florida Atlantic a couple years ago. teams coached by Dusty May at the mid-major level don't come around very often. He's now at Michigan, of course. I could see why the 10 would be tempting. The 10's not a bad, like, kind of like some fans like, yeah, give us the 10. You get paired up with, of course, I'm looking at the women's bracket now. You get paired up with UConn. Get paired up. I mean, UConn's really good. So I don't know if there's an ideal situation at all for a team that's in that region, right? Or in that, yeah, that kind of situation. Like, you're an 8 or 9. You're paired up with a team that looks an awful lot like you. And then you get to likely get clobbered by a 1 seed. And if you're a 10, well, you got upset the 7. And then you get a pretty strong 2 seed when all is said and done. I don't know if there's a win-win situation there at all for a team, speaking specifically about Iowa, but if there's a team in that situation, I don't know if you there. It's a horse apiece is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I feel like it might not be a big difference, but I do feel like a 10 is maybe just a little bit more favorable, because at least you have a little bit more faith at beating a 2 seed. Not that you're like ultra confident, but I'd be like, I'm an Iowa fan, obviously. I would much rather play UConn than Duke or
right.
Michigan again. Like, I would have a little bit more hope. Not much, but slightly more hope against someone like UConn, because I've seen UConn have absolute duds of games this year. So that would be kind of my thinking, whereas Michigan, they've only struggled against the Dukes of the world or teams of that level. And Wisconsin, I suppose you could say too. But I was obviously not on Wisconsin's level, I don't think. So
right.
I would rather, I think, a 10, just because you have a little bit more. There's slight hope. As opposed to playing a 1, just feels you already know how it's going to end.
319-366-1600. Sam says 2s and 3s play each other, so no big difference to them. Rather be a 10 than a 9 or an 8. A lot of numbers being thrown around, but yeah, I think the small hope that you get by being a 10, that you can pull off an upset. I don't think the way this team is playing, right? They're close enough. I'm not trying to bury Iowa before they even get their seed at all. I just, the way this team has played, what, 2 wins down the stretch, right? Beating Nebraska, beating Ohio State, but, I mean, just some bad losses in there, including to Penn State. They've been close against really good teams. So maybe, just maybe, you know, you kind of play the way you've been playing all season and you end up playing up to the competition a little bit and, you know, you get UConn, right, if you're the 10 seed in that region, and you kind of take a page out of Marquette's playbook and, you know, and get Danny Hurley ejected. I don't know. I mean, he got ejected with, like, 3 seconds left at the game. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of that's kind of, like, the ideal playbook.
Right.
I think if you're an 8-9, I mean, there's been 8-1 or 9-1 upsets. Plenty of them, right?
It just feels like the elite this year.
The elite are
have really
yes.
separated yep. from a team like Iowa at this point.
That is very true. 319-366-1600. Power Hour continues. Got a half hour left. Iowa State pregame starts at 5. We'll focus in on the Big 12. Want to get some women's bracketology in before 5 as well. We'll take a look at where Iowa State and Iowa on the women's side lined up according to Charlie Cream before 5 o'clock. Here as well. 319-366-1600 back in 2 minutes on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
Cloud cover will be increasing as we head into the overnight hours. A few flurries may be possible as temperatures drop back into the upper 20s. More cloudy skies are expected on Saturday. A few more flurries or a brief snow shower are possible. We'll see a high temperature around 44 degrees. Rain showers will start to move in Saturday night, and we could see some icing as well. Temperatures will drop into the upper 30s. Rain showers will transition over into snow showers throughout the day on Sunday. And that was a check for the first forecast. I'm meteorologist Kaysen Frericks.
Don't leave $500 on the table. Fill out your college basketball bracket now at kgymradio.com for your chance to win a cool $500 in the Hertzien & Stocker Jewelers 1600 ESPN Bracket Challenge. Use your skills and maybe a little luck to fill out the winningest bracket. Get all the details and fill out your bracket now at kgymradio.com. Presented by Hertzien & Stocker Jewelers in downtown Iowa City. Stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Okay, is everyone buckled up?
I'm in the back seat, so I'm safe.
Don't think so, bud. If we get hit, you'll go flying, no matter what seat you're in.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
Whether you're behind the wheel or in the back seat, buckle up every time, because nearly half the people who've died in car crashes didn't fasten their seatbelts, even though it takes 2 seconds. Remember, no one's a safe unbuckled passenger. Wear your seatbelt and arrive alive. Brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Power Hour edition of the show with you for another 25 minutes, and we'll turn you over to Iowa State men's basketball, the pregame show with John Walters and Eric Heft coming up at 5. Back with a full show on Monday. Bracket breakdown show. 2 full hours of college hoops talk, looking at the brackets, getting your thoughts on where all the state of Iowa teams landed, upsets, all that good stuff. And then the madness begins. Well, the first four for you Tuesday, Wednesday, kind of still waiting out to see what's happening Thursday, Friday through the weekend. But we will have basketball for you here on 1600 ESPN. That is for sure. 319-366-1600. Ryan on the text line saying they'd prefer Iowa to be a 10 for sure. Saying based on how tough they played some of the teams that will be the top four seeds throughout the year, they may be better than most of the 7 seeds they would play. I guess that's a fair assumption. You still gotta show up. And the crux with Iowa basketball is they've played the top teams well, but the not so top teams not so well. Look at State, Penn. Look at Maryland. Look at Minnesota. They've played down to competition. They played down to competition and survived, right? But played up to competition and gotten so close. And that's what the clips from Ben McCollum we played yesterday and today have been talking about. Like, there's a difference between winning these games, believing you can win these games, believing in yourself, and just believing that close enough is good enough. And I think Iowa still kind of falls into that trap of, oh, close enough is good enough. We're the team that can give everybody a fit, but maybe not win the game. And ideally, that's not where you want to be. You want to be a team that can win these games. And they haven't proven, with a few exceptions, that they can this season. So, yeah, maybe they're battle-tested, right? And they face off with a random 7 seed? St. Mary's or Miami or Kentucky. Those are 7 seeds. Match up with them as a 10, maybe. You get lucky. Maybe you can out-physical them. You can... You know, Bennett Sturts has a really good night shooting the basketball. Cooper Koch has a night like he had against Maryland, or Day, I guess you could say. Maybe, but you need to show you can play that way consistently, and losing 3 in a row to end the regular season, going 1-1 in the Big Ten tournament. I don't know if that exactly exudes a ton of confidence. 319-366-1600, Iowa State, Arizona coming up. Pregame show in about 20 minutes here down in Kansas City as those two teams meet for the second time in about 10 days. The Wildcats, a 3.5-point favorite here going into tonight's matchup with the Cyclones. It's on ESPN TV, but again, here on 1600 ESPN. Going to be kind of interesting to see this play out because the Big 12 tournament, of course, in Kansas City, the last time these two teams met, it was in Tucson. And head coach Tommy Lloyd was asked last night, and he's not trying to necessarily make a big deal about this, but He was asked last night about the lack of Arizona fans in Kansas City and how this is a home court advantage for schools like Kansas and Iowa State. It's called Hilton South, right? So maybe does it play to the advantage of the opposition team, the underdogs tonight in Iowa State? We'll find out, but this was Arizona's head coach talking about this after they beat UCF yesterday.
I mean, listen, you guys are asking a lot of questions here. I want to talk about the ball game. 100%. Would I want this in Vegas? Yeah, 100% I will. But, like, you know what? I didn't ask to be in the Big 12. We got put in the Big 12. I didn't have any input on it, but I love being in the Big 12. So if they tell me we're playing in Kansas City, we're loading up the plane and going to Kansas City. We're not going to sit there and overthink it. And you guys can do all that stuff, or you can have another coach give you opinions on what he would want. I just want to get on the floor and try to kick ass and play 40 minutes. That's it.
He didn't want to be in the Big 12, guys. He didn't ask for this, but they ended up winning the league, the regular season title. I mean, Arizona is still a really talented team, and my official prediction was Iowa State gets to the semis and loses to Arizona. If that upsets some of you out there, that I'm sorry, that's just me being honest with you. I think Arizona is one of the top. They are one of the top teams in the country. They're on my short list for picking the bracket. So I think Arizona wins this game tonight, but I wonder how much of a difference the different environment makes. And I wonder how much a difference the court makes as well, because the court has been changed. If you haven't been following this story, the Big 12 had this glass LED court it was using, and they used it throughout the women's tournament. They used it through the first couple rounds of the men's tournament. And then after the quarterfinals yesterday and then late last night, the commissioner, Brett Yormark, said, no, we're pulling the plug on this, and we're switching back to the wood court for the semifinals and the championship game on Saturday. This was Yormark explaining himself on the Pat McAfee show earlier today as to why the change was made now and not last week during the women's tournament, before the men's tournament, after the first round. There's so many different places you could have chosen to do this. Why do it at all? I think that's a question that a lot of people are still kind of scratching their head about. But Brett Yormark addressed the sudden switch in playing surface earlier today with Pat McAfee.
Anytime you innovate, you know, there's going to be risk. And you know that going in. And I think it's fair to say that you never expect 100% buy-in. That being said, there were mixed reviews. Some players liked it, some players didn't. There was discussion about making adjustments. There was discussion about a potential slippage. And following the games yesterday, I met with, you know, the four semifinal coaches, and I had been encouraging feedback all week. In fact, for the last 2 weeks, starting with the women's and into the men's. And I was very intentional about that. And we decided last night that that for us, most importantly, is that you've got four of the biggest brands in men's college basketball competing tonight. And the conversation should be about those teams and not the court. And I made that decision ultimately, following the feedback I had received some of the key stakeholders. And I feel good about it. I think it was the right thing to do. And I often tell my staff, listen, we're in the good judgment business. It's critically important to make good judgment. And I made a judgment call last night, and I stand by it.
That's the Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark here. I think he's right, but the problem is people were talking about the court and how terrible it was. They have been for a week and a half now. So it seems to me, I mean, yes, in the end, they made the right call. Christian Anderson, if you watched the Iowa State game, or even if you didn't, but Christian Anderson, guard for Texas Tech, he got hurt, injured his groin in the loss to Iowa State yesterday. And it shouldn't take anybody getting hurt, but there were complaints of slippage. There was complaints of you know, players not being able to push off and accelerate as much because the court has a different, much different feel than they're used to. And look, I'm all for bells and whistles. I'm all for cool stuff. It looked cool. The overhead shots of the court all lit up in Kansas or Iowa State or whatever colors they were on. That's all well and good. But man, I just don't know if this was the right time to roll this out, especially with the very impactful championship weekend here. Now, you know, let's look at the bracket, right? All these teams are in the tournament. You don't have a team like a Colorado or an Oklahoma State or, you know, Cincinnati, right, who needs to win five games in 5 days or whatever to secure a tournament bid. So you're not doing anyone necessarily a disservice tonight. But I think Brett Yormark, he's not a dumb guy. He sees, right, all the star power, right, all the potential for these teams to make a run in March. Christian Anderson gets hurt in the quarterfinals yesterday, and he's, oh, man, Texas Tech is down now two of their best players. Not a season ender for Anderson at all, but they're down JT Toppin. Anderson's up in the air, his status up in the air for the tournament. We can't afford to have Darren Peterson get hurt on the glass court. We can't afford to have Taman Lipsey and Joshua Jefferson get hurt on the glass court, or Koa Pete for Arizona, right? We can't afford to do that, so let's change it out. And it's a very reactionary decision. I'm glad he made the right decision. But this, to me, without it being fully tested and it being such a new thing, I am always, let's err on the side of safety. And I feel like, Isaac, this was the worst possible time to roll this out without it really ever being used for anything as important as a championship game before.
Yeah, I would agree with basically everything you said there. It's too important of a tournament and it can affect too much seeding and have far too many consequences this late in the year where don't try it out. I don't know if you can try it during some of the non-conference scheduled mini tournaments, if you can do something like that.
Yeah.
But that's not like directly tied with the Big 12 typically, so I'm not sure how you could work that. But if you want to do it during some of those things, I think that would make more sense where you only play one, maybe two games and players can, get moved around a little bit and you have a lot of rest of the season, a lot of runway left for the rest of the year. Maybe you could do it then, but for something this impactful, it feels like too unnecessary of a risk.
Here is TJ Otzelberger, regardless of the court and what the court is, whether it's wood or LED glass, they're going to play and they're going to be playing a third game in 3 days here, of course, beating Arizona State, clobbering them on Wednesday, beating Texas Tech yesterday in the quarters, and then taking on Arizona tonight. TJ Otzelberger talking about just how his team has prepared and approached this this tournament here this year and locking in and staying ready for the next opportunity.
Yeah, our guys do a great job when they have opportunities with recovering to do the things they need to make, to put their bodies in position to feel at their absolute best. Felt like earlier this year, experience we had playing three games in 3 days in Las Vegas really prepares you. We were able to go into each game, and I feel like maybe take a step forward with each game and not have any drop off. So that was important. And then, look, it's March, man, and I think for these guys and for everybody in our locker room, you do all the hard work every single day from whatever age you are when you start playing this game, and you dream about having the opportunity to be playing such meaningful games in March and how special that truly is. So I want our guys to be in the moment. I want our guys to absorb all of it, soak it all in, and then, they've done the hard work. So that work will show up for you in the moment if you continue to keep your mental focus, and these guys have a great focus.
And here is Arizona's Tommy Lloyd, a little bit from him yesterday, talking about the challenge of playing Iowa State for the second time in, 10 days?
Well, we played them a week ago or so, or 10 days ago. So, obviously we'll look back at that and try to figure out what worked and what didn't work and see if there's any adjustments we can make. But, we know we have a lot of respect for Iowa State and their program, and I have a lot of respect for TJ and the job he's doing, and I have a lot of respect for their players. And like I said, we're looking forward to the challenge. We're looking forward to the opportunity.
How can you say everything with saying nothing at all in that clip? We respect our opponent. We're looking forward to the challenge. Yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. See what happens tonight in Kansas City. I think Arizona's the better team. I made my pick. I think Arizona wins. But I just wonder how much the home crowd environment, you're going to see it too with Kansas and Houston. Right, the Big 12 getting exactly what they wanted. Iowa State and Kansas both in the semis, with one of them likely possibly heading to the championship. That's exactly what they want. Easy drive down 35 for Cyclone fans. Easy run over from Lawrence for Jayhawk fans. Right, there's plenty of them in Kansas City too. So that they got semifinal Friday. They're gonna get their ticket sales, their concession sales, all the different monetary things that come into it. They're gonna get exactly what they wanted here tonight, and if they're lucky, they'll get Iowa State and Kansas of the championship. A third time around meeting there. I think it ends up being Arizona and Kansas. We'll find out tonight, but I think it should be a fantastic game tonight. Both of them. You got Houston and Kansas game two in the Big 12. 319-366-1600. We'll wrap things up. The Power Hour coming to a close here for a Friday. Back in 2 minutes on 1600 ESPN.
It's Rich Eisen for Pella Windows and Doors. Sometimes teams take a timeout to regroup and call the right play. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors always has the winning game plan. They do it every day, and that's why your neighbors trust them. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. Right now, Pella Windows and Doors of Eastern Iowa is offering 60% off installation or 0% APR for up to 60 months. Some restrictions may apply. See store for details. Offer ends March 31st, 2026.
Harry Douglas here. I don't wait for birthdays to celebrate. I grab Confetti Craze 5-Hour Energy. It tastes like rich vanilla birthday cake with buttery funfetti goodness. Seriously, it's unapologetically extra in the best way. And it's sugar-free, so I get all that cake flavor without the guilt. It's tiny, portable, and ready for whenever I need a quick boost. I keep one with me because you never know when you'll need a little party energy. The funfetti flavor is back on 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon. Crack open a Confetti Craze 5-Hour Energy shot today.
5 seconds to Sharp, top of the key, lost the dribble, he's got to pick it up, it's scooped up by Condon, Condon secures it, and Florida found a way, from 12 down to the school's third national championship in men's basketball.
It was an epic come from behind win for the Florida Gators in last year's men's title game. Find out who will claim this year's titles with Westwood One's exclusive coverage of the NCAA men's and women's tournaments, right here.
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Power Hour chugging right along here on 1600 ESPN. About 8 minutes to go here as we take you to the top of the hour. Turn you over to the Cyclone Radio Network, Iowa State, Arizona tonight. Pregame at 5. Tip off just after 6 from Kansas City. 319-366-1600. A few people weighing in on the court on the text line. The biggest thing to remember with the court thing and why people are so critical of it and why I think it was good that they switched. You don't play on LED glass for the entire season, and now you're rolling it out in tournament time. And I don't know if there's a good time during the season to put this stuff, right, like, into use. Like, you mentioned, Isaac, like, can you use it in, like, the Champions Classic and stuff like that? But that's not tied to a conference. So I don't know how you work this in. You're not going to replace the floor at Hilton Coliseum with LED glass or, you know, randomly during the season against, like, North Carolina A&T. Like, what good does that do you? So it's just one of those things. If you want to do this, you have to make it as consistent as possible. But wood versus glass, they're two totally, I don't need to explain the difference between them. They're two totally different things. And playing on something that's not, you're not used to playing on for the entirety of the season is something different. And it's not the court's fault the player gets hurt, but it's a different surface, though. You're used to running on wood, right? Running on the material you run on for the other 30-some games of the season, and you're going to do it in the NCAA tournament, too. Like, having it just a random kind of one-off event just doesn't seem to make sense. So the Big 12, if you want to be innovative, that's fine, but do it in a smart way. I think that's the point people are trying to make. And why do it now? Why didn't it get changed for the women's championship? Why didn't it? There's so many questions we don't have enough time to dive through, but it's not really necessarily that big a deal. They made the change. They're going to do it for the semis and championship. That's all that matters. 319-366-1600. Quick look at women's bracketology. Here we do have the Missouri Valley Women's Tournament happening in our backyard. at Extreme Arena in Coralville. We'll get you a score check on that here momentarily. But when it comes to the women's bracketology here, Charlie Cream from ESPN has Iowa, of course, hosting. They will host as a two seed. Interesting possible matchup projected by Charlie Cream. He has Iowa as a two with Oregon in their pod. Oregon's already come to Iowa City, but it was a one play. They haven't played twice this year, so certainly could happen again. But he has Iowa hosting Cal Baptist in the 2:15 matchup with Oregon and South Dakota State, the 7:10 there. The three seed just above them is TCU with Alabama in that pod as well. Of course, it's just a projection from Charlie Cream, but we'll see how it all plays out there. But Iowa in the region with South Carolina there. South Carolina, the one seed. Iowa State, meanwhile, a number nine seed still. Bad news. Good news, playing NC State. I think it's a winnable game for Iowa State. Iowa State, Bill Fenley has said they could beat anybody. They could also lose to anybody. Just how they played this season. Nine seed Iowa State, potentially against eight seed NC State. The bad news is number one seed UConn. You're heading to UConn to face the Huskies. The game would be in Storrs, Connecticut, if this projection were to come true. So that would be a rather quick exit for Bill Fenley's bunch for Iowa State. But your four one seeds, UConn, UCLA, Texas, and South Carolina. Like I said, Iowa the two seed in this latest projection from Charlie Cream. The Missouri Valley Women's Tournament, Northern Iowa, moving on past Bradley, 74-73. So they get the top seed, Murray State, coming up here. That game will be tomorrow. Drake still alive as well. They have Illinois State tonight. Drake beating Valparaiso 81-55. Valpo women's basketball, by the way, in case you didn't see, finished the season 0-32. I'm not here to dog on the Beacons by any means, but I have been a while since I've seen a team in D1 go 0 for a season, men's or women's basketball. And Drake getting by Valpo last night, 81-55. They got Illinois State. That's the three seed versus the six seed down at Extreme Arena. Northern Iowa, like I said, beating Bradley by 1 point. Murray State the one. UNI is the four. That game tomorrow at 1:30 in the Missouri Valley Women's semifinals. So that is the lay of the land going into championship weekend here. We'll have plenty of basketball, including Iowa State, coming up. If they win tomorrow, we'll have the championship game at 4. If they do end up losing, we'll carry the Big 12 game courtesy of ESPN Radio. It's just the pregame show will start at 4:30 tomorrow here on 1600 ESPN. Also have plenty of other championship week games. Check out the schedule, kgymradio.com. And we have the selection show for you Sunday at 5. So you can listen along with the selection show here on 1600 ESPN and all of our frequencies, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids and 106.3 FM in Iowa City and Johnson County proper. And then Monday, back with a full show, Bracket Breakdown Show, taking a look at both the men's and women's brackets and getting perspectives from all across the board from you, the listener. John Walters will join the show at 4:30, and then we'll talk to JR from the Big Ten Huddle as well at 5:10. So busy show Monday, and then we get into one of the best but busiest weeks of the year with all the hoops that we have for you next week here at 1600 ESPN. So looking forward to it. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the basketball. Batten down the hatches, especially Sunday, especially if you're heading toward Minnesota or Wisconsin. Snowmageddon looks to be on the radar for them. But enjoy the weekend regardless, and we'll talk to you again here Monday at 4. Iowa State pregame show next on 1600 ESPN.
Adam Schefter here. It's tournament time when only the most talented